Hello, you are listening to the Bethel Atlanta Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good to see you. Thank you. You may be seated. I think that this morning I could just continue to worship and just continue just to be in his presence and be so overwhelmed by Jesus that nothing else can overwhelm you. Because whatever overwhelms you will shape you. And there's so many different things that can overwhelm us in this season. And so I'm just sensing this full of gratitude. And I actually look forward just to be home and to be with the family and just to worship today. Because I've been in a season, as she just mentioned, I defended my doctoral thesis after years and years and years of just feeling that I was afraid that my head became bigger than my heart. And that's the dangers with the world of academia. But I love the school being with the people like Dr. Michael Brown and Dr. Randy Clark and many of the people is that you have the word and the spirit and the power together. If you overemphasize the word, yeah, let's give Jesus a good hand for that. They say if you overemphasize the word, you dry up. If you overemphasize the spirit, you blow up. But if you bring them together, you grow up. And so I had the honor of being in one of my favorite moments, actually in one of Dr. Michael Brown. We were sitting together in a small little classroom, and he's actually just taking one Hebrew word and talk about this Hebrew word, and the glory came into the classroom. And before you know it, all of us ended up on the floor. And nobody could move for the next couple of hours. God just took over the classroom. And then afterwards, it leaked into the hallway. Another professor and everybody just leaked into the bathroom. The glory of God just came in. It was of the years that I was there. That was my favorite moment. And I'm just sensing something in my spirit in this season. I think the biggest joy in my life in this season is something more. I had a theologian that texted me to congratulate me. He said, what are you going to do with all of your time right now? I said, grandkids. Just wanted to share with you that that's kind of been the highlight of my season. December 23rd, we were in Norway where our little granddaughter Rebecca was born. Yay! And then in January 30th, we had a Malachi, and we got Malachi. So Lila Ann, maybe is watching right now. They're supposed to Malachi and Lila Ann watching us, and we're just full of gratitude. So the first thing I did when I landed it was to say, Lila, can I come over and see Malachi? And then I was just sitting there looking at Malachi, and I remember when the first time I was holding Malachi, I just looked at his face for over an hour, and the same thing happened with Rebecca. I had his encounter. I was just looking, and I just wept. And I wept because I just realized I saw this childlikeness and the innocence. And I heard, Papa God, that's how I see you. And I was so overwhelmed by love, but I just realized the love is different than any other love I've experienced. But I could feel also the Father's love as he's looking at his sons and daughters. And then he said it as clearly as I'm speaking this morning. He says, I'm going to restore your childlikeness and your innocence back. And I think a lot of us on our journey towards our destiny, we're ending up with a lot of different pollution. And there's a lot of things that can pollute us, different polluted waters we can drink from that can affect us. But I do believe that we are in a season where we are just going to be with Jesus. Say, be with Jesus. So we become like Jesus. Say, become like Jesus. So we do what Jesus do. And it is, say, be. I was thinking about it. Say, become and do. Last night, before I went to bed, it was just a simple, I'm just warming up my voice this morning. But I was reflecting, I remember those bracelets, what would Jesus do? It was one of those I was jealous that I didn't come up with the idea. Because somebody became millionaires out of that thing. And I was one that was wearing, what would Jesus do? But I was thinking, what would Jesus do if Jesus was you? So if you're the housewife with a little 2-year-old child, what does that look like? Or if you're the school teacher showing up in the classroom, what difference would that be in the classroom if Jesus showed up in the classroom clothing himself in an ordinary, or if Jesus was there in high school clothing himself in that junior high or high school? And I started just to reflect, what would that look like even in the body of Christ for us? He loves us just the way we are. But he refuses for us to stay that way because he wants us to be just like Jesus. And this is the simplicity of my life message. I want everyone in the world to know how good Papa God is. And I want everyone to know how loved they are. And I want everyone to experience a God just like Jesus. And so today I'm going to put a little bit on my teacher's hat. I believe there's an apostolic word that I have for us. And I'm going to take you on a journey because I know we have Palm Sunday. And I love Palm Sunday. And there's something significant. My next book actually coming out of this thesis, there's going to be about four books. But the next book is actually calling Roaring Lambs, which is the next mission force. And I feel there's something even prophetic for us here as the Bethel Atlanta family. What does it look like when the roaring lambs show up? And the reason I'm using that title, because I think that the tendency in our renewal stream, we have seen even a lot of theology that is focusing on us being lions, and we're going to get the authority. We're going to take over these mountains, and we're going to change society. And somehow we have underestimated the power of the lamb. And I was thinking about the Palm Sunday experience, what everybody was waiting in a society was kind of gone mad. Everybody was looking for the lion to show up. We want a king, and we worshiped and we shouted a king, but just that king looks a little bit different, and that upside down kingdom looks differently than what they expected. And then Jesus just changes the direction, because when everybody was looking and expecting to see a lion, he actually showed up as a lamb. Actually, in the book of Revelation, Jesus is one time lion and 24 times there's the lamb. So the future Jesus that has conquered the enemy is the lamb. And the only time there was a lion in the book of Revelation chapter 5, that lion becomes the lamb. So I've been on this journey. I wanted to get to know, because we need the identity. Say identity. We need the identity of the lamb, so the authority is in the lion. Say authority. So when we roar, people will gather and not scatter, because it comes from the lamb's heart. Could I say that one more time? We do need the identity of the lamb. Say identity. So that the authority is in the lion. Say authority. So when we roar, people will gather and not scatter, because it comes from the lamb's heart. And so I'm putting this together. Today I wanted to take you to meet a precious woman who is precious to me in Scripture. We started last year and focusing on as a family, or the movement that we are part of. We feel that the year 2024 for us, it is harvest time right now. I have never seen the harvest be more ripe than right now all over the world. It doesn't look like that unless you're looking up. Then you can see. And you can look at it, you can see it's harvest. So I'm going to take you to John chapter 4, and we're going to look at some verses. Because as apprentices, as a disciple of Jesus, again, as we're following in his footsteps, and we're becoming like him, learning actually to show the world a God that looks like him by being with him. Say, being with him. Because the one that you're beholding is the one you're becoming, and what you become is what you release. So we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. So if you open up your Bible, we're going to put a couple of, actually, slide on the screen. I'm starting to learn that through my doctoral study. And we're putting this, mainly just, I want us to take a look at John chapter 4, just starting in verse 3. It starts, so he came to the city of Samaria. Say Samaria. Which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. Say well. It was about the sixth hour. Let me just, I don't know if we got that picture of the well on the screen here. But I want us just to talk about, first of all, we're going to talk a little bit today, the ones that is thirsty. Do we have anybody thirsty in here, by the way? There's going to be an invitation this morning to come and drink, and so that river can start to flow again. That's what I'm sensing that he wants to do. I'm thirsty. I have this incredible thirst in me, and I wanted to drink from that pure water. But first of all, there's a reason why Jesus was gathering at the well. Say well. If you're thinking about well in a Middle Eastern context, they built a well because it was the place where everybody actually had to come. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican, you're going to need water. It doesn't matter if you're the criminal, if you're the police officer, you need water. I mean, it doesn't matter where. If you're the billionaire or you're the homeless, everybody needs water. You're made of 70% water, and you're longing for what you're made of. So there's something in us that is looking for that. So there's a reason that Jesus chooses, first of all, to go to Samaria. Say Samaria. And I would just let me put Samaria up here for a few moments, because how many of you remember after Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he tells a story about the good Samaritan. It is very interesting to say, well, there's that good Norwegian. Oh, hey, I know a good Democrat. I don't know if you see what this language or good republic or whatever it is. I don't know if you see the connotation. I mean, we talked the story about the good Samaritan. That means the primary thing is 99 is bad, and here is the good one. And we're kind of surprised there was a good Samaritan that was used to help somebody. And so this is the place Jesus goes in. I mean, he could have gone around, and most people wouldn't want to go into the project or in where the Muslims are or whoever that group of the Samaritan is to you. He could have gone around, but Jesus is going right into the Samaritans and into the territory, and he's there on assignment when everybody else will walk around, because Jews are not supposed to be around Samaritans. And for me, maybe lately, I'm just going to be honest, I struggle a little bit with some of the groups that somebody just sent me a video where some of the, you can call them the heresy hunters, where I was actually featured. And the tendency in my flesh was, because they're saying, well, false teacher and everything else, and oh, false prophet. And this thing in the flesh of me that I was going to send back, but I had to withhold it. I wanted to say, wow, a cessationist just believed in prophecy. They just, because if there is false prophet, then there has to be real prophet. And he just prophesied that I'm a false prophet. Anyway, this is the flesh. But then I was watching again, because somebody sent it to me, and I shouldn't watch it. It's just because I just want to be with Jesus. But I realized that could be the Samaritan to me. So for me to step in there and meeting some of those people that maybe they're on the totally opposite, and this is exactly what Jesus do, culture. And here in this environment, first of all, he is a Jew, and she is a Samaritan. Second of all, it was also the gender issue. She is a woman. In a Middle Eastern culture, you do not go as a male and to meet with a woman that is alone. And there were so many different things. There was a reason that this is actually totally, actually unscripturally. How can you, Jesus, do this? He's showing up at his well. And again, the reason is the well. This is the unifying factor of something that everybody needs. And Jesus is going to sit there and wait, because every single person out there is looking for something. They're longing for something, and they're drinking from something. And whatever you're drinking from is what they're becoming like. So say it with me, say, well. The next thing that is coming along, and when Jesus shows up at a well, there is that woman, and we know the Samaritan woman, she comes with his jar. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures, but this is actually three sermon series, so I'm just taking a couple of highlights and going to give it to you now in 20 minutes and 12 seconds. So in the middle of that, when he's showing up there, say water. Jesus comes to her, and I think it is very, very interesting that Jesus is asking this Samaritan woman for a favor. And he tells this woman that I thirst. Why would God thirst? Why would he coming into this woman and say, I thirst. You have something that I want, that he thirsts. And he starts this conversation. And they have a conversation. Normally speaking, she would start an argument. And I'm just saying that even in this season, as we're going to meet the culture that is out there, our tendency is to coming in and kind of to defend ourselves when we're coming in. But I love the way that Jesus is operating here strategically in regard to how he's touching her life. So they start this conversation about something that is in need of everyone. It's like, what water are you drinking from? And I want you to give some of the water that you have. Like, why didn't you bring your own jar? And this discussion is kind of going on to build a bridge. And Jesus said, hey, if you knew who I was, you would have asked me. And they start this conversation about water, something that is the need. So say water. And I'm just sensing that a lot of us, I think we've gone to a well, and there are certain things that we've been drinking from, but tomorrow you have to drink from it again, or next week you have to drink from again. Some of the temporary things, and this woman has been going to this well over and over and over and drinking, and she's still thirsty. That's what we're seeing with the society. And it is all around that people are thirsty for something, and we have all these temporary things that is going to just fix your temporary, but you're going to have to go back again there to the same well. But Jesus has something that he wants to give people, that he wants us to represent, a water that makes people thirst no more. I was actually thinking about one of the stories. Some of you maybe heard me share this before, right before COVID in 2019, I was in Cuba, and we had a team with us in Cuba. And Aki, Yazir and Aki, who's our leaders of our movement in Cuba. Aki is a very precious pastor's wife. And she came up to me and she calls me Papa Leif. And she said, Papa Leif, my hair, I do not like my hairstyle so much because I go to this sister in my church. And she's a very sweet sister and she cut my hair. And she said, when I look, I see other people out there, their hair is prettier. So I asked them, where do you get your hair cut? And they told me. So I'm just asking you a question of wisdom. What should I do? And first, I wanted to know a little bit more. I'm saying, I explained the situation. And she said, well, the problem is if I go to that lady, she is a witch. And she's leading the witchcraft in that area of Havana, Santa Ria. And then, so what should I do? And I said, repent. And she said, I don't understand, Papa Leif. I said, repent. I said, is the light in you greater than the darkness in the witch? Well, the oldest, if she touches me, I'll become unclean. No, if you touches her, she will become clean. So what's this worldview? I didn't know. I don't remember this conversation, by the way. I found out later on. A year later, I'm in Havana, Cuba, and we're having a meeting similar like this. And there's beautiful worship, and then one of the people out of several people, it was seven people that morning, but one of the people on the floor there just weeping, getting saved, healed, and delivered. Later on, I found out that was that witch. And the deliverance was so amazing. And then a year later, this was in 2022, I'm coming to Havana, Cuba, and I'm seeing the worship. And Chris and Summer, you would have liked this. I mean, the way she worshiped, her face was glowing, and I'm like, wow. This is the best worship leader I've seen in Cuba. Where did you find her? And he said, oh, that's the witch. I said, which? That's how I found out about the story. I didn't remember any of this conversation before. I didn't this extravagant worshiper, and she is now leading 18 of our house churches a year after that again. She's one out of my Samaritan woman stories, that this woman has been drinking from the polluted water, until at this moment, just one person that came that was thirsty, that started to drink, and rivers started to flow. For the next year, more and more river flowed until she had an encounter with a God that looks like Jesus. She was saved, healed, delivered, and set totally free. And whom the Son set free is?
Free.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is?
Free.
The one that's been forgiven much, they... And this woman is a lover. Her name is Lee. She's not the witch any longer. She's Lee. She's the top evangelist we have in Cuba. She leads more people to Jesus. She's an extravagant worshiper who's worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. And it's an incredible example. And that's just one out of so many different stories that I was thinking in regard to this Samaritan woman. So let's look at the next slide here. And we're going to, you kind of put together, the next slide has a couple of different type of a picture. But you see, say water. I do believe that there is this water that Jesus then starts in this conversation to introduce her to. Hey, the water that I have. But the next thing after the water, she starts to get a little bit thirst, realizing that I'm coming to this well again and again. But now she needs something more than just hearing the story about the water. She needs a word. Say word. And it is interesting what Jesus starts with, a word of knowledge. And he starts to describe her. Let me tell you a little bit about you. I mean, hey, by the way, you have five husbands. And the one that you're living with is not your husband. As he starts to share more and more of the story, how do you know? What do you know about these things? And as more as he starts to reveal, she started suddenly to recognize who he is. And I don't know what it is, but sometimes one word from God just changes everything. And as soon as the word of God comes in, it just becomes like a beautiful mirror. And she starts to see and she starts to recognize something. And there's something explosive that is about to take place in her life. As something as she now recognizing, who are you? You are. Because she was looking for a Messiah. She was looking for worship. And all the people out there are worshiping something. And feeling we're heading into a season that, wow, when they're meeting people that has been with Jesus, that has become like Jesus and just starts to do what Jesus did. But it all has to do with a relationship of being with him so that we become like the one that we are with. And then that's what we're going to start to release to a world that is actually very thirsty in this harvest season. And I'm seeing it with the Muslims at this moment. I mean, every single day I'm getting texts from Muslim imam and Muslim leaders. They are thirsty. Actually, right now during Ramadan, during my graduation, I put a little smile on my face because I had from Mecca, a picture from all these people in Mecca going around the holy, this is the holy time during the holy dew, and they're walking around, they say, we are praying for you right now. But for me, it was an excitement because I do know that even during the holiest time and Muslims and these pictures are coming in, I got from Medina, I got from Pakistan, from around the world, the Muslims was praying for me to get my doctorate degree. But for me, what it means for me that we get to be able to represent a God that looks like Jesus to people, that even the Holy Spirit will start to touch people all over the world, even if they do not understand yet, but they are thirsty for something. And we have some fresh water to bring to a thirsty world in this season. So there was the word. And then the next one, I'm just putting a couple of things together. Let's look at the scripture verses. The next slide. Let me slow down. Say worship. Wow. Let me say something about the worship. Worship is the only eternal activity we are doing here on earth. Let me explain it. I do mission. Sherry do mission. We do evangelism, power evangelism. We do all those different things. But the only thing we get to do temporary, the reason I do mission is for worship. But the end goal of mission in itself is for people becoming into white hot enjoyment of who Papa God is. The end is not just that they are going to pray a prayer. The end is they're going to get to know him and make him known. The end goal of everything, what we're going to do in heaven for eternity is worship. There's not going to be mission in heaven, no giving in heaven, but we have an opportunity right now to do something that is eternal. And it builds to something eternal, and it is worship. And this was the main intention for Jesus. Say well. Say water. Say the word. So what a word now is explaining, and for some people it's in one moment, be healed, and somebody is just being healed. One lady just had a word, bipolar, that I was with Heidi Baker last week, and one word just changed everything. I thought about another story. I have to take the time to share it. But Heidi was sharing this story that when she was 12 years old, Heidi was doing ballet. And how many of you know who Heidi Baker is? Okay, I just want to make sure. Heidi is a very, very dear, precious friend. And she leads a beautiful movement of God's Spirit, mission movement, based in Mozambique, Tanzania, in Mozambique. But anyway, Heidi was with her mom. She was doing ballet and horse riding. I mean, a lot of things. She lived in Laguna Beach. And then one moment she said to mom, Mom, you see that black stallion? I would like to get me a black stallion. And the mom got so upset and had some demonic thing that came in. And the mom, you spoiled, and named her every book. She took her in the car and she started to drive her around the mountain area. And it's going to drive her off the cliff. I'm going to kill both of us. You spoiled, and yell and scream. And Heidi believed it must have been an angel. Right before it hits the edge, the car just stopped of itself. And Heidi was in shock. And something came out of Heidi and says, Mom, first of all, she said, I will never ask anybody for anything again. She made an inner vow at that moment. And 40 years later, Heidi is, I think it was a place in Canada. And she's just in the service, and after she finished ministry, she's on the floor and just having a moment that she has with Papa God and being overwhelmed by his presence. And she's laying on the floor. The pastor taps, and it's like, come up. And she's like, I'm just trying to enjoy Jesus here. And now come up. So finally she comes up, and she wanted to honor the pastor and says, come out. So she walks outside. And there is this cowboy standing there from Montana. And he's driven 20 hours he's driven from Montana all the way up. And he said, well, I am here to see a girl named Heidi Baker. The guy had a word of the Lord. He spoke to me and he said that God has not forgotten. God has not forgotten the desire of your heart. So God told me to buy you a black stallion. So I've driven from Canada right here. Is baby, your black stallion. And showing up there to the meeting. And Heidi goes out and jump on that horse and ride a horse. And people took picture because there's one scene there. When she was there, people took picture and there's all these irises, the flowers. And all those orphans that are becoming beautiful flowers, irises, that's what the ministry is all about. And the whole atmosphere, the reason I'm bringing this up, that became fresh, I'd heard this story several times before. But now Heidi was sharing this story, but she said, do you know, Cowboy Rick is coming again. And so now he has driven 33 hours from Montana all the way to Minnesota. And he's coming because God just told me, and he showed up. And we were sitting there at the lunch table in the green room. I mean, this is a cowboy with a big C. I mean, this is not a wannabe cowboy. I mean, it's like... He was talking, well, God just told me that, Heidi, you were supposed to, before you go back to Mozambique, so I was taking the horse, and but the axle broke, and we fixed it, and we came here now so that you were supposed to do one more ride and before you go to Mozambique. Driven over 30 hours. And we do not know that that one word from God that one person got, a cowboy, simple as he can be, and he just obeyed that word to do something that would be so untraditional, how it just changed the life of Heidi Baker. And it changed also, and I would probably say that there's hundreds of thousands of names that have written in the Lamb's Book of Life just because of that word. As Heidi started up to receive again, not just from Papa God, from the body of Christ. I was sitting there with Rick, and Rick was sitting by the side of me, and he started to prophesy, and the glory just hit, and I was wrecked by this cowboy again. And he didn't maybe follow a lot of protocols, but he knew one protocol. He knew how to hear the voice of God. And it just brings this extravagant worship, that worship starts to take place, and this is what we're about to see that is taking place at Bethel, Atlanta. As we are taking this precious water and we start to drink the ones that is thirsty, I know that we're finishing a dry season, and I'm here to say both when last week in Minnesota, this week with Randy Clark in Pennsylvania, all the places I've gone, it's the same word. We're heading into a bumpy season, and it's going to be a dry season for a lot of people if you do not get fresh water, but then there's going to be a birthing after that. So it's not bad. It's looking good. It just doesn't look like that. So like Palm Sunday, we celebrate, oh, a breakthrough, breakthrough. And then it looks like breakdown, breakdown. And then you're coming along, and then Friday comes along, and it seems like everything that was spoken does not happen. And I've had some of those Friday moments, even in the last few years, of where I wanted to give up, and up in the middle of the night, my body is shutting down and everything. You had these Friday moments, but I'm here to say that Sunday is coming. We know the Dave and Alicia is part of this body. Got another picture of Emma yesterday. But it's another one of those stories. She was working in her office, and again, we believe we're going to have a baby. And it didn't happen. At our family gathering, something we don't do prophetically speaking, but David Wagner pointed out, you're going to have a baby. And they became pregnant. And we all was walking through, they lost their baby. And it seems like everything was lost. And years going along, and again, they continue to believe and continue because God spoke. And now they have a little baby girl. Sunday came along. Two more pictures and we're landing this. But let's look at a couple of the scripture verses. Are you guys okay? I know I'm kind of cramping in a few things here, but I want to honor the time. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never, never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Let's look at the next scripture verse. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, oh, you are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Let me also just explain one simple thing here. Some of us, we think this woman was loose, or this woman had some issues, but it's not necessarily the case. Because in the Middle East, a woman didn't have a whole right. This woman had all these love deficiencies and has been hurt, and they've been dishonored by men over and over and over again. And she's been trying to drink from everything that there is to drink until somebody comes along. His name is Jesus. So often the tendency we think here that here's five husbands, there's something wrong with this woman. But if you see the context of this and understand the Middle Eastern perspective, if she didn't fulfill something, husband just kicks her out. And here she is, no support, no. She's going somewhere else to find love. And she's been looking, she's been drinking for love in all the wrong places. And then she meets the love of her life. When he comes, there's no agenda, there's no hook, there's no condemnation, there's only an invitation. And it does something in her. He reveals everything about her. And let's look at one more verse and then. But the hour is coming, and it is here, when the true worshiper will worship the Father. Say, Father. It didn't say worship Jesus. I believe worshiping Jesus, but Jesus says worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We end with, so the woman left her water jar, went away into the town and said to the people, come and see a man. Come and see a man who told me everything that I did. Can this be the Christ? And then you start to see the testimony of Jesus that is a spirit of prophecy. It started going into Samaria, the rumors. Nobody can stop this lady. There's somebody. He knew everything about me. He told me everything else. This is Jesus. And later on in Acts chapter 8, revival broke loose because this woman, the seed of this woman, became actually the harvest of the next revival in Samaria. That brought a whole transformation, the whole region. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So you can be my witness, starting in your Jerusalem, your Judea, but Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the world. Here are two slides, and then we're landing this. This is Atacama. The driest place on the earth, in Chile. I'm going to be in Chile, I think, in about a couple of months. But this is the driest place in the world. But what we don't realize, like here now, there was 7 years, there has not been one drop of rain. But underneath, there is actually some seeds that has been broken in the dryness. All it is just waiting and waiting for some fresh water to come in. Let's look at the next picture. But here, what is taking place is called a super bloom. Suddenly what is taking place, there's a shift in season. Steve was just showing me right before I came up speaking, 11-11, 11-11, shift. There's a shift in season. Suddenly in a moment, what is the dry places in your life, what has been dryness in your marriage, dryness in your finances, suddenly in a moment, there's coming rain. And what is happening, there's those seeds that has been broken in a dry season is just ready for the nutrients of the rain that is going to explode for this greatest harvest that the world has ever seen. It is a super bloom harvest. And so we're living in a super bloom harvest. I want us just to stand to our feet. Can I get just the worship team? And I know the children, you can pick up the children. I'm thirsty. Let's just say the outline, say well. Say water. Say word. Say worship. Say witness. This is my heart that this year that every single one of us, can we just be honest? I have experienced some dryness in my life. Anybody here that have had some dry season? Let me just see. Here is where we're thirsty for something fresh, for an outpouring. In John 7, it says, the ones that is thirsty, I just want you to come and drink. Some people have been waiting for healings, and it's been a long time. We heard Alicia's story. After about 11 years of waiting, and now she's sitting there looking at little Malachi. It's been a long, long Saturday, but I'm here to say Sunday is coming. It's been a sunset, the one season, but the sunrise is coming. It looks like that everything is dry and things is, it seems to be dead in relationship. But then in a moment when that water comes in, suddenly that water starts to touch those different areas, and you start to see the super bloom harvest that is coming for us. So let's just hold up your hands for a moment, the ones that is thirsty. I'm in a season where I'm just, the ones that is thirsty, he says, just come. Come to me, all of you who are thirsty, and drink. And rivers will start to flow. So Father, I just release right now. Some of us, we just need to have a conversation with you, Jesus, at the well. And for you actually to coming in, what are some of the things? Well, I've taken this medicine over and over. I have been going through this over and over. I've been pressing in over and over again. But to have a fresh encounter with Jesus at the well, where he will give you something that he brings, that living water to make you thirst no more. And the one that is thirsty, he says, come and drink, so that the rivers would start to flow. So right now, we're just going to take some time. Holy, Holy Spirit, I just thank you for fresh outpouring. For anyone that is tired and weary, just had a person, alcoholic after about 10 years, and they just did an intervention. And he was just sitting in the car, and he just, in a moment, remembered, and a little bit drop of that water came into the car. And he said, now it's been 7 years since I was thinking about alcohol. The presence just filled in that car. And he started to drink, and since then, revival has broken loose in his business, and rivers started to flow in his business. The ones that is thirsty, come and drink. So I just thank you, Holy Spirit, right now, all over my Bethel family in Atlanta, all over the place where there's the dry places in your life, in all of those places where you've been pressing in and you have not seen anything, that today there's an invitation for you just to come. And I just felt that we were just kneeling, or if you are hurting, but just come and find this place, because it's going to be a place of refreshing today. We cannot give something we didn't first receive. To be in the river is to be in Jesus. To drink from the river is to drink from Jesus. To release the river is to release Jesus. So Father, I just thank you right now from all over this place that we're just coming. And in all the dry places, there's healing in the river. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. There's refreshing in the river. Be refreshed. There's renewal in the river. Be renewed. There's joy in the river. Rejoice.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. To stay connected with Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.